Well, hello and welcome once again. Ooh, we got a message for you today. In fact, we got part two of a message that we began last week. If you were listening in last week, or if you checked the Battle Site for Christ, the sermon department, you would have seen last week's message was called Hellbent. Hellbent. Well, that was part one. And we had a little bit more to say, so this is Hellbent Part 2. You're listening to the Just Jesus Radio Network and Battle Site for Christ. Okay, let's say a short prayer before we get into the message. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for who you are and for who we are who believe in who you are, Lord. I thank you for the cross at Calvary. I thank you for the finished work of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'll give me utterance throughout this message. I pray, Lord, that the listener will get a blessing, that they'll understand, Lord, what is being said here today, Lord, and they'll lodge it in their needy hearts. Please, Lord, go before me now. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray, amen, amen. Well, folks, welcome. Now, we're starting right in the middle of Hellbent Part 2, okay? Or Hellbent. This is Part 2, of course. So, bear with me. there's not much that I can say to really go back and tell you what Part 1 was all about. I'd rather you listen to that for yourself and then continue on with Part 2. So in the interest of time, I'm just going to go forward. Okay? All right. Away we go. And this is what I'm talking about, dear people. What is it? The journey to the cross. The journey to the cross. Have you made your journey to the cross? Sometimes we have to come to the very end of ourselves to find the very beginning of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We can't walk around in our pride and expect God to be there listening to us when we mumble a few words that, for the most part, might be meaningless. But you know, God wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us. Now, when I reached out into the darkness myself, not seeing, not hearing, not feeling, it was my complete worth, my complete worth that stood before me. And a holy and righteous God before me. That's what it was. My worth was worthless, really. But the righteousness of Almighty God had asked me, invited me. I cried for His mercy and said, I was sorry. You've probably been there, maybe not to God, but to someone else, a friend or a relative, and said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But when you say you're sorry to God, you know, you're beginning the road to repentance. This was my repentance. I was lost, and I needed to be saved. Now, I say unto you, who are not saved, don't wait. Don't put it off for a more convenient time. All right? Don't wait until it's the last minute in your life. It may be a minute too late. Now, I heard of a man once who wanted to believe in God, but he was too busy enjoying his life. And he said, when I'm about to take my dying breath, he said, then I'll call on God. Until then, I'm not going to bother him. But you know what? When he came to taking his last breath, his mind was so scrambled by the life he'd led that he didn't even know who God was. You get my point? Don't you wait. Don't you wait until you're on your deathbed or you feel that that death is near at hand. Do it now. Because tomorrow, according to the Bible, tomorrow is promised to no one. I say unto you who are not saved, don't wait, don't put it off, and say, well, I'll wait for a more convenient time. Please don't. Do it today. Don't wait until the last minute in your life. It may be a minute too late. In the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, the Word of God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Have you got that? God said that. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Now, no matter how you feel about another human being, never tell them out of your anger to go to hell. Oh, no, that's the worst thing you could give on to someone. Don't ever say that to anyone, no matter how angry you are. Tell them to drop dead. That's not so bad as it is saying go to hell. Lest they hearken unto the word of God, they shall go there soon enough. Oh, yes. Better still, let us march in the parade of Christ. The parade of Christ, carrying placards of life that say things like, your mansion in heaven is free. Your compartment in hell will cost you your soul. Whew. Well, I don't know about you, but I like things that are free. Well, you know, salvation is free. You know why? Because Jesus paid for it already. When he bled and suffered and died on that cruel cross at Calvary, he paid the price that we could not pay. And that's why it's free for us. Oh, yes. Don't you wait another day. Think about it. Think on these things. No, never wish anyone to go to hell. Never. Say all sorts of things if you're angry with them, but never say go to hell. The problem is, unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish and go to hell. I didn't say that. God did. I just repeated it. Now, here's some news you may not have heard of all places to be that could send you to hell. Or, pardon me, of all places that you may be that could send you to hell. Give you a good push in that direction anyway. Guess the number of one place. Are you ready for this? Huh? The number one place that could send you to hell is your local church. Wow, you're saying, your local church, that's where you go to prevent yourself from going to hell. Well, yes, in a way. But you see, the sickly person who kneels at their bedside and talks to God on a very personal basis, repents and believes in the gospel, you know, they're going to make it where they want to take it, all the way to glory. But you know, when you walk an aisle in church, first of all, in all fairness now to the bride of Christ, may I say, there was a time now, when the local church was the prime catalyst for salvation and revival. There was a time, oh yes there was, and the number one place for soul saving, and don't get me wrong, there are still good Bible-believing, God-honoring churches, but with the advent of new evangelicalism, promise keepers, and new emerging church, the once powerful mainstream Bible-believing Baptist churches, well, they've fallen asunder in the eyes of God and allowed the error now, of easy believism to creep in. I speak not of all, nor every church, no. There are lots of good Bible-believing churches out there. Let me say this. There was once a time where right was right and wrong was wrong. A time when the pews of countless Bible-believing, God-fearing churches of the King were still fastened to the solid rock. Oh, yes. And when commitments and altar calls were made, the Holy Spirit of God ran roughshod over the devil and every evil entity that dared to infiltrate his holy assembly. Oh, yes, he did. Repent, he shouted. Repent and be converted. Repent and be converted. General William Booth, you may recall, founder of the Salvation Army. Is it coming to you now? He had this to say, and I quote, "I fear the day when my organization," talking about the Salvation Army, "I fear the day when my organization preaches salvation without regeneration and faith without repentance." That's what he said. He fears that day. Faith without repentance is like a car with a flat tire, or a car with no gas, better still. You're not going anywhere until you get it gassed up or get that tire fixed. In Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, I love these verses. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 makes it very clear. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Now, faith. What's the Bible say faith is? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. "For by grace are ye saved, through faith." Wow. Through faith. Faith is the substance spoken of here. Faith, the Christ of God. And the evidence is the presence of Christ in your life. In your life, your very life. To see Christ, we must do what? Repent. Repent. We must turn from that which is in opposition to God. And what might that be, you ask? Well, it's all balled up into one little word called sin. S-I-N. Sin. Sin is always in opposition to Christ. It has no place where He is. When we turn from sin, we turn to that which is in agreement with Christ. Got that? When we turn from sin, we turn to that which is in agreement with Christ. Well, today, most churches, well, they've tossed repentance out the window or into the trash. Oh, no, 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 no. All I could do is believe. Wrong, the Bible says. Repent and believe in the gospel. Okay? The tragedy is that more people are walking the aisle and making a mouth profession of Christ, believing that they don't have to repent, which means, for them especially, that they don't have to change in any way or turn away from anything. In other words, keep on going. You're traveling the right road. Don't worry about the bumps. Don't worry about the gutter. Just keep on going. God is there waiting for you at the end of the road. Mom! They have hearkened unto the gospel just as they are told, and then sent back. Now, we're talking about an in-church thing. They are hearkened unto the gospel just as they are told, and then they're sent back to continue enjoying their cesspool of sin. That's what it is, a cesspool of sin. God have mercy. God have mercy. Where are the disciples? I'm not talking about the ones in the Bible. I'm talking about you and me and all those others who profess salvation. Where are we? Are we on the job? Or are we just twiddling our fingers and attending church every Sunday and saying, "Oh, praise the Lord, I'm glad I'm saved," and going home and just being in a dry lifestyle? Not worrying about anything or other people's salvation. Who do you blame? The church? Oh, the world they are caught up in. Do you blame the world? Well, we can in a way, but it's not going to work. What about the pastor? Oh, I'm not going there. I have a new message on that one. Or do we just, we take the easy way out and simply blame the devil? Hey, that's a pretty good way, isn't it? Blame that old devil, Satan. Well, then maybe we should just tell the devil to go to hell. Hey, that would work, wouldn't it? Of course, he lives there anyway, so it wouldn't bother him. He's just going home. Now, if we examine the faith chapter in the book of Hebrews, we will learn much of what faith truly is. Okay? What faith truly is. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, all pillars of faith. Oh, yes. The story is told of the elderly woman who lived high in the Andes Mountains. She had been there all her life and abode with her daughter. She was a woman of great faith. Yes, she was a woman of great faith in God. Her one desire before she died was that one day now, she might be able to see the beautiful ocean that she has heard so much about beyond the mountains. Though her house was high aloft, hitting in the hills of the mountains, she had become lame, sickly, and confined to a chair by a small window. By a small window. Are you getting the picture? But she was a woman of faith who believed that one day she would see, if it be from heaven now, the beautiful ocean that lies beyond the mountains. Yeah. Can you picture this? Now there came the day she lay dying. She lay dying. She had her daughter move her bed next to her favorite window where her chair had always been, so that she might look upon the shadowy hills beyond. Oh, my Lord, she prayed. Oh, my Lord, if only I might have but one tiny glimpse of the great ocean beyond the mountains. Oh, now the old lady was fully aware how much she loved and believed. One last time she opened her Bible. Oh, how much she wanted to see the sea line, the waters rushing upon the shore even. One last time. It didn't matter where. She just wanted to see the ocean. Any page would do in her Bible. Her eyes fell upon the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Her tired eyes began to read. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Wow! No sooner had the old lady finished reading that verse of faith than a great earthquake began to shake her tiny abode. Weakened and failing fast, she held tight until the trembling subsided, and then, with her final ounce of strength, pulled herself up to the window ledge. What she saw with her dying eyes brought her such joy and inner peace. The earthquake, caused the mountains to shift just enough to allow a line of sight from that old woman's window to the great ocean beyond. Have you got it? Can you see it? Oh, yes. Question. Do we take our faith too lightly, do we? Or should we come more boldly to the throne of grace? I do. I fully believe that we should challenge the Word of God. Yeah, not whether it be true or not, but we should challenge it. Heaven forbid we should challenge His Word as it is written, but that we may examine ourselves through it. Check our faith to see if we really have the mustard seed of faith that Jesus talked about. Now, lest we forget, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So, are you pleasing God? Well, you say, how am I to know if I'm pleasing God or not? I mean, God doesn't tell us if our faith is pleasing to Him. Sure He does. Sure He does. Well, how? How? By blessing you. By blessing you. Just like He blessed that old woman in the Andes Mountains. And by the way, that story is true. It is. Do you believe in heaven? Do you believe in hell? You haven't seen either, so how do you know they really exist? They don't say, because the Bible says so. The Bible tells us all kinds of things, but without faith, they don't mean anything. Nothing at all. Hebrews 11:13 tells us, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. It was faith that Abel pleased God. Also Enoch, Noah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the list goes on and on. Faith. Faith was at the forefront. Now, what's that common thread that unites all warriors of faith? What is it? What's that common thread that unites all warriors of faith? Obedience. Obedience. And what is it that promotes or provokes obedience? You ready? Repentance. Repentance. You see, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And the only way you can be obedient is through repentance. Okay? If you don't repent, then you cannot be obedient. You must repent in order to be obedient. And if you don't repent and be obedient, then your faith is of none effect. Gone. Nothing. You know, anybody can repent. Anybody. There's no works involved. You just take your eyes off of the world and put them on Christ and believe in what He has done at the cross. That's all you have to do. The obedience, on the other hand, well, even with the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit, it can be a little tough at times. Oh, but, dear saint of God, consider the blessings God wants to pour out on your life. How can you expect the blessings of God lest ye obey the Master? So what then? Do I tell you you're going to hell? I think not. The message from the King is clear. Without faith, through repentance and obedience, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. And don't let some slick seminarian preacher tell you otherwise, or you'll be joining hands on the trip to the pit. What does faith involve? Tell you very briefly, confession of sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:9, turn away from our sin. Isaiah 55:7 tells us, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Confession of Christ. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Number 4, call upon God for mercy and help. Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. Obedience, Hebrews 5:9, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And finally, denial of self. Matthew 16:24, if any man will come after me, said Jesus, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Follow me. Oh, there are many who profess Christianity out there. Yes, they are. They're everywhere. But few who actually possess Christianity. Have you got that? There are many who profess but do not possess Christianity. The broad way will be crowded with aisle walkers and Christ talkers. Yes, it will. But it'll be too late. Too late. There'll be no aisle to walk. And Christ won't be a part of what you want him to hear anymore. Hell is eternal. How is it with you? How is it with you? Are you in a condition of eternal sin that you just don't know how to get out? Well, I'm telling you. Give your life over to Jesus Christ and do it now. Repent ye and believe in the gospel and thou shalt be saved and thy house. I'm not talking about the wooden structure. I'm talking about your family if they too repent and believe. I thank you for listening to this message. Oh, I pray that you got something out of it. It's the kind of message that God laid on my heart. And I do so love the Lord. I believe. I have repented and I have believed in the gospel. I pray that you have, or you will if you have not. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow could be too late. Because if Christ returns tomorrow, your chances of being saved are gone. Gone. Oh, please, please make sure of your salvation now. I beg of you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.